All right, thanks, guys. That sounded awesome. Hello, everybody. Good morning, Hope Community Church. How's everybody doing today? How does everybody feel? Do you feel great?
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, I feel great, too. Great to be here. Glad everyone came out today. Jamie again, and to Josh, good job up here. You guys sounded really, really good. All right, when Josh asked me to speak, it was like kind of like a last-minute thing. I was like, what should I talk about? What do they need to hear? And something clicked in my head, and I remember I did a study years ago. It was called One-Hit Wonders of the New Testament. This was books of the New Testament. It only had one chapter. It was Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. And I did a study on that, and I remembered that 2 John talks about the whole idea of truth and grace, or truth and love, that Josh wants this church to be a church that's full of truth and full of grace. And I just want you to know that this is not just a message about grace and truth, but I am offering grace and truth to you as well. As I told the prayer team this morning, when I first did the message, I wrote everything down and I practiced it. I timed myself. It was 55 minutes. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's a little too long. So I kept cutting it down and cutting it down, and cutting it down. So I'm showing you grace. It should be about maybe 25, 27 minutes, and we'll be out of here on time. So that's my grace to you today. It's tough. And Corey, it's tough when you, and Josh knows, when you do a message, you have so much information you want to say, and you just have to cut out. But it'll be good anyway. It's going to be good. All right, turning your Bibles, if you have your Bibles or your cell phone, to 2 John, because we want to read through the first 6 verses. We'll read 1 through 6 of 2 John, verses 1 through 6. And this is the Apostle John writing this letter. He says, "The elder, to the lady chosen by God and to her children whom I have loved in the truth, not only I, but also all who know the truth. Because of the truth which lives in us, will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, will be with us in truth and love. It has given me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as the Father commanded us. And now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk in obedience to his commands, as you have heard from the beginning. His command is that you walk in love." So before we talk about the whole idea again of truth and grace or truth and love, let's define the two. What is truth? What is love? All right. So what is truth? Truth is defined as the real state of things, fact, reality, an accepted statement or proposition. Now, there are two diametrically opposite beliefs when it comes to absolute truth. One belief says, there are no absolutes that define reality. Everything is relative, and there is no actual reality. And unfortunately, that is our society today. There are no absolutes. And I want to give you the example of the book of Judges. Has anybody ever read the book of Judges? Know what the book of Judges is about? Good. Basically, all you need to know about the book of Judges is caught in a circle. That's what the book of Judges is all about, caught in a circle. Because what happens is the Israelites fall into a sin. God raises up a judge. The judge gets them out of that sin. They're good. They fall back into a sin. God raises up another judge. Judge gets them out of that sin. They're good. They fall right back into a sin. And it's just a constant cycle in the book of Judges. Some of the judges you might be familiar with is Samson. There's Gideon and Deborah. They're like the three popular judges. But there's a whole bunch of judges that God has to raise up because the Israelites are caught in this vicious cycle. And there's one verse that keeps popping up in the book of Judges, and it also happens to be the last verse in the book of Judges, and I'm taking it out of the ESV version, where it says, Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. So basically, if you thought something was okay to do, you did it. Whether majority of people thought it was morally wrong, if you felt it was right, you did it. Does that sound like our society today? Absolutely. Then there's the other belief when it comes to absolute truth. There are absolute realities or standards to define what is real and what is not. Actions can be deemed right or wrong based upon how they measure up against absolute standards. I think of Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God is our standard. He's the standard. And we constantly fall short of his perfection, his laws, his commands. Constantly fall short. Now, there are those that insist that there are no absolutes are actually believing in absolutes themselves. Because they are absolutely sure that there is nothing absolute. So their belief is kind of contradictory. And God the Father, Jehovah himself, has written down for us his absolute moral code. It's right here in the Bible. Everything you need to know is right here. He has written it down for us. And according to the Word of God, God is the author of the moral absolutes that govern the hearts of man. The Bible clearly outlines what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is evil. And absolute truth is liberating truth. Truth brings freedom. John 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Let's talk about love. John 13, 34, Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." If God lives in us by the Holy Spirit, then we are able to walk in the same love, to walk as Jesus walked. To walk in truth means to walk in love. Romans 5, 5 says, "God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." Now we think of love on an emotional level. We think of love as a religious feeling. But love defined in the Bible is an act of the will. Charlotte, Owen, I'm going to put you guys on the spot. Finish my sentence. Love is a... Thank you, Owen. Love defined in the Bible is love is a verb. It's an action. We talked about love a few weeks ago in youth group. Let's be honest. There are people who are hard to love. They drive us nuts, right? We know these people. But the Bible teaches that we can love them. Why? Because God loves us. The reason we can love the unlovely is because Christian love is not an emotion. It's an attitude. It's manifested in our actions, not our affections. And the problem is we allow our feelings and emotions to dictate our actions. But God's truth regulates our attitude, which determines our actions. And John is saying in these few several verses that to walk in truth is to walk in obedience. And to walk in love is to walk in obedience. Not only do we speak the truth in love, but truth and love go together with obedience. They are inseparable. And Ephesians 4:15 says, "Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in everything, respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ." Now, a well-balanced Christian life and diet contains sugar and salt. Salt being truth, sugar is love or grace. But the problem is, and we've talked about this before, the problem is some Christians or some churches only want salt. They go around scattering their salt wherever they go. They are all truth and no love. They are full of doctrines and dogmas, opinions and laws. They are cold and judgmental and have no concern for the feelings and needs of other people. They defend the truth at the expense of love. They are cold and judgmental. They have no problem speaking the truth in cruelty. Truth is all that matters. They are religious salt shakers. Then on the other hand, we have other churches or Christians who are nothing but sugar bowls. They are all love and no truth. They would never, ever confront anyone caught in sin because that would involve telling a hard truth to that person. And even if it was for their own person's good or for the good of the church. They teach tolerance and that we shouldn't be judgmental towards anyone's particular lifestyle or religious beliefs. They are pastors who like to tickle the ears of their congregation and refuse to convict the hearts of the congregation, refusing to step on toes and out of fear of being too harsh. They are religious packets of sweet and low. Our goal as Christians is to keep truth and love in balance. And again, Jesus was the perfect example. And Josh gave us a couple examples. First, there was the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus truthfully told her life. Hey, you've been with several guys before, and the guy you're with right now, he's not your husband. But then lovingly offered her living water for her thirsty soul. And then there was the woman caught in adultery who was about to be stoned. He told her, I do not condemn you. You're good. I don't condemn you. However, you have to leave your life of sin. And he told her, go and sin no more. Now, what would have happened if Jesus was just all truth or all grace with these two women? Let's just say he was all truth to the woman at the well. Suppose he was just all truth. He comes to the well and says, hey, I know all about you. You've been with a bunch of these guys. The guy with you now, he's not your husband. Get your life straight. And say, all right, I got to go. What would have happened with that woman? Nothing. But because he showed grace to this woman, because of Jesus' pouring out of his love to her, even though she was a sinner, living in sin, poured out his grace, she got so excited, she went back to her village and said, I think I found the Messiah. And the people came to Jesus, and that whole area believed in Jesus because Jesus shared the truth and grace with her. Now, what if Jesus was just all grace with the woman that was being stoned? Well, I took care of that for you. You're good to go. I don't condemn you. All right, peace out. Would that woman's life ever changed? No. She probably would have gone back to committing adultery and taking her chances. Her life would not have changed. Even though Jesus poured out his grace to her, kept her from being stoned, and said, I don't condemn you, he had to confront the sin. He said, look, you have to leave your life of sin. I don't condemn you, but you got to go and you have to sin no more. Grace and love go together. And we see Jesus was like 50-50 with these two women. But then it got me thinking. As Josh was speaking, as I was doing this, I'm like, oh, this is so hard to do. It is. This is one of the hardest things as Christians we are called to do, to keep these things in balance. Because then I'm thinking, I don't know if you thought this way, this is the way my mind works. Like if I'm talking to somebody and I'm confronting them and I'm talking, I'm like, I'm sure, oh, wait a minute, I got too much truth, I got to bring it back, I got to give more grace, and wait a minute, I got too much grace, I got to bring it back. And as I'm talking to this person, I'm juggling the two. I'm thinking to myself, that's going to drive me nuts. Won't that drive you nuts? Like, what do we do? And then there's another problem that I thought of, and Josh did mention this a little bit, that if we happen to be speaking too much truth, we might be accused of being too judgmental or offensive. And as Christians, we don't want to be accused of being judgmental or offensive, so we back off. And on the other hand, if we're showing too much grace or too much love, we might be accused of either compromising the truth or condoning the situation. And as Christians, we don't want to be considered compromising the truth or condoning a sin, so we back off. So instead of speaking the truth in love, we just don't do it at all. And that's going in the wrong direction. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be there. So what is the answer? Again, this is something else that Josh said. It's kind of like a redundant message, but it's good. He said, there's no such thing as too much truth, but there is such a thing as not enough grace. And there's no such thing as too much grace and love, but there is such a thing as not enough truth. So what I did, I found two passages in Scripture where Jesus was not 50-50. Where Jesus went all in on grace, and another passage where he went all in on truth. You want to know what they are? You curious? All right, come on. All right, the first one. Excited? Okay, yeah. First one's in Luke. Turn your Bibles to Luke. Luke chapter 5. We're going to be in Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 27. Luke 5, 27. And this here is the calling of Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. Jesus came to him and said, follow me. And Matthew started to follow Jesus. So we're going to pick it up in verse 27, where it says, after this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi, that's Matthew, sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered them, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So here we have Jesus calls Matthew. Matthew is so excited, he's like, I gotta throw a party. So he has this party at his house, and he invites all his tax collector friends, and says there's other sinners there. Now, I went through a few commentaries to find out who these sinners were, and I couldn't get a direct answer of who the other sinners were. But all we know is there's a bunch of tax collectors there, and Jesus is in the midst of these tax collectors eating dinner. Now, is Jesus compromising the truth by having dinner with tax collectors? Is he condoning what they're doing? If we read all of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we get a big picture of who Jesus was and what he was all about. We know that Jesus is God. He is the truth. So he's not cutting back on the truth. He's not condoning what they're doing, because God, what's the one thing that God hates? God hates sin. Hates sin. So no, Jesus is not compromising the truth. He's not condoning what they're doing. All he's doing is for this one moment, this one evening, pouring out grace to these guys. Why? Because most of their life, they have never experienced love, grace, or compassion. Because of their occupation, they're tax collectors. First of all, they're hated by the Jews because they're working for the Romans and they're skimming money. They're basically hated by the Pharisees because the Pharisees think they're sinners and they're not as righteous as we are. Probably shunned by their family because of their occupation. So these guys live lonely lives. Their only friends are the Romans, and the only reason why the Romans like them is because they're getting the money. So these guys have never experienced true love and grace. And so just for this one evening, Jesus is putting truth on the shelf and saying, you know what? I'm just going to spend time with these guys and just pour out my love to them. and just sit and eat with them, talk with them, share stories, joke, whatever they did. Now, tomorrow, I'll get to the truth tomorrow, but right now, this one moment in time, these gentlemen need grace and love. And that's what Jesus did. Let's go over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, starting at verse 35. It's where Jesus is talking about that he's the bread of life. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the Cliff Note version of this passage. So I'm going to be skipping verses. So I'll tell you what verse I'll be going to. But this is John chapter 6, verse 35, and we'll go all the way to 69. Then Jesus declared, before I read this, at one time, Jesus had about 70 followers following him. So about 70 guys, maybe probably some women in there, but 70 people following Jesus at one particular time. And so I'm picturing that most of these guys are here with Jesus as Jesus is talking. Verse 35, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. 41, at this the Jews began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. 51, Jesus said, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. 52. Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? 53. Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. 58. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. 60. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is hard teaching. Who can accept it? Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. 67. Do you not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. So here's Jesus talking about himself being the bread of life and that we need to feed upon him. That the bread he offers is eternal life. It is him. He offers it. And we need to feed upon Jesus. But what he was saying was, it was offending to a lot of the followers there. They were getting really offended. And it says at one point, they left. And at no point does Jesus stop and say, I'm sorry. Am I offending you? I gotta reel it in. I got to reel this in a little bit. Yeah, I got to show a little more grace here. I'm sorry. No. The more they grumbled, the more he kept talking. He didn't stop. And when it says that many of his disciples left, nowhere do we read that Jesus went, guys, wait. He's running down the road after them. Hold on a minute. Come on back. Let's talk about this. Nope. Just let them go. And then he turns around, and there's just 12 guys standing there. Just 12. And I'm going to read this verse again out of the ESV because I like it better. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? I mean, you want to go? You can go. If you don't like what I said, you're free to leave. There's the door. And then there's Peter. I love Peter. Who doesn't love Peter? Peter speaks up and says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. These guys are standing here thinking, wow, this what he said, that was hard. It was a little offensive, but it was the truth. But Jesus, in all of what you said, only you have the words of eternal life. Only you speak the truth. we're not going anywhere. He says, we have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. We're not leaving. Yeah, it may have been hard to understand, but we know that you're the one. These are just two situations that I found where Jesus went all in on grace and went all in on truth. So my point is that every situation is going to be different. There might be a situation that you're in or the church is in where the pastor might be 75% truth and only 25% grace. Maybe the next time, 75% grace and only 25% truth. All depends on your situation, what's going on. The point is that over the course of time, as we look back over the next 10 years, but 10 years from now, we look back and say, you know what? We have been a truth and love church, or a truth and grace church. Over the years, that is what we have done. It's like being a balanced offense in football. You have to have a good pass-run ratio. Does everyone know what that is? A good pass-run ratio? Okay, for those that don't know, in the offense, you either run the ball or pass the ball. And you want to have close to 50-50 of your total runs and your total of passes. Sometimes you might have like maybe 25 runs and 30 passes. Next game, 25 passes and only 30 runs, whatever. But you don't want to be like the Eagles were this year. The Eagles did not have a good pass-run ratio. If they would have run the ball a little more in the beginning of the season, they would have won a few more games. They did a bad job with their pass-run ratio. They just kept passing and passing and passing. And as an Eagles fan, I got more frustrated and more frustrated. Remember the game against the Dallas Cowboys? They ran the ball three times. Three times! That's all they did. They handed the ball off to the running backs only three times. And they got blown out, 41-21. That was just stupidity on their part. But then there are times where you have to adjust your game plan. You need to adjust. And I thought of the game, the Monday Night Football game, New England Patriots against the Buffalo Bills. It was a Monday Night Football game, and the New England Patriots only threw the ball three times in that game. Only three passes the entire game. That was because of the 50-mile-an-hour winds in the stadium. Coach Belichick said, we're not going to throw the ball. It's too windy, we're just going to run. And they ended up winning 14-10. So like I said, it all depends on your situation. Sometimes the situation you're in could be mostly truth. Next situation could be mostly grace. You know the situation, you know the person's needs. And the same thing with the pastor. The pastor, he knows his congregation. He knows what they need. There might be a time where they're going to need nothing but truth. And there's going to be a time where they meet only need grace. And like I said, this is a huge challenge. I found this to be a huge challenge. I don't know about you. But the more I study this and look at this, I'm like, this is going to be tough. How to walk in this grace and truth. How to keep this balance. And don't worry if you think you're giving too much truth and someone says, hey, you're being judgmental. Don't worry. Don't worry about it. Or I say you're with this person all the time. This person, what they're doing is not right, and I see you with them. You're not condoning what they're doing, are you? Don't worry about it. Maybe you feel like they need more grace at this point in time, or another situation needs more truth. Like I said, over time, we need to keep that balance. And it's not going to be easy, but we need to do it. And as Master Yoda would say, do or do not. There is no try. We have to do it. We have to work hard at keeping that balance of truth and grace. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this time. We can come together and worship you. We thank you for your words here in 2 John. I just pray you help us all walk in truth and in love. Help us to keep that balance. And help us as a church to be a church that is full of grace and full of truth. And I thank you for everyone who is here. Thank you for everyone who is watching online. Bless them. keep everyone safe, and bring us all together next week. In Jesus' name, amen.